James.
Yes, Kobe.
You know what numbers matter today?
99.
No. 8 and 6.
Oh!
You know why?
Because how many days till Steelers game?
Steelers games, 86 days till the season. Here we go.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Friday evening?
James, I was waiting for you to say the Friday. Yeah, I'm good. It's weird recording at the end of a week instead of at the beginning. It's strange. James is excited because he doesn't have to work immediately tomorrow morning.
Woohoo! Not till Monday!
So that's exciting. But I'm doing swell. I'm absolutely fantastic. How are you?
I am very good as well.
As swell.
Nice full belly right now. I've been eating that like crazy since I got out of work.
Yeah. And it's not going to stop after this episode.
Shout out to your mom for those pepperoni balls.
Oh, man. Ooh. Those were good. We only had one apiece right now, and there's like, I think there's 9 left.
There won't be by the end of the night.
Oh, man. We are super excited for that. But moving on, we have Steelers by the Lake news. We have our first download in Israel.
Never happened before.
No. That is insane and awesome. And even if it's somebody who is visiting Israel and happened to download it, we want to know why you were there. Tell us
stories, man.
Or if you're from there, please tell us stories.
Yeah, hopefully you listen to this week again. We really appreciate the download. You just checked off one more country that had not yet downloaded our podcast.
Nor would we have ever guessed they would.
So really awesome. Feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter or any social media, even our Gmail account.
Yeah, Steelers by the Lake @gmail.com. .com. So that's going to do it for Steelers by the Lake news, but we are going to go straight into Steelers news because that is all we're going to be covering this episode, is making sure you guys are up to date on all the latest things Steelers.
Yeah, with mini camp having just happened this week. Last time we talked to you, they were reporting the next day. Today is the day after minicamp concluded.
Yeah.
So attendance at minicamp was perfect. Literally, there was only one player who did not attend minicamp, and it was excused, and that was Stephon Tuitt with the death of his brother.
Makes sense.
So obviously, Mike Tomlin said thoughts and prayers are with Stephon Tuitt and his family, which... also for us, you know, we're thinking of them for sure, but that's awesome to hear that everybody else attended.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's probably close to 90 guys or right
that's
around
89
there.
Out of 89. The 90.
Yeah, 89 out of 90. So that's awesome to see that everyone showed up. Everyone for the most part stayed healthy. The only injuries that we heard of were after day one, a little bit of Ben and Juju leaving practice early. Tomlin did say over and over again that I'm not going to make this a bigger deal than what it is. It's not even worth talking about, and they both practiced the very next day.
Yeah, and it was really funny. If you didn't catch the press conference with Mike Tomlin after day one, two reporters tried to corner him and get him to speak on the injuries, and he said, "I will not comment on it." He was very quick and to the point.
It's just not worth it.
And he told him at the beginning of the press conference, he said, "I am not required to report any injuries this time of year, and I'm not going to, so don't ask."
And then they wasted their breath.
And then they asked anyway. Aditi Kinkabala was one of them. And then I think Brooke Pryor was the other one. They really thought that he was going to bend for them for some reason. And not the case. So Ben and Juju nicked up in day one, both returned in day two, so I wouldn't even worry about whatever the heck it was, because it didn't even slow them down in mini camp, where it's not really even that important for guys like them.
Nope, not at all. Speaking of Ben, Matt Canada had some things to say.
Yes! You know, and Matt Canada talking about the new look offense and what should we expect of it. And basically what he said, now the quote that you're going to hear from most major media sources is that we're going to do what Ben wants to do. But that was all within context of a much larger quote where he was talking about it doesn't do him any good to call a play that Ben's not comfortable with in a certain down and distance. So it's extremely important that the two of them work together on plays that each of them like, and that Matt Canada does not call plays that Ben just is not comfortable with in certain situations. So really all that is just Matt Canada admitting that he has a future Hall of Fame quarterback and wants to work as closely with him as possible to make sure that they have successful plays out on the field and not just, well, I think this is going to work, so I'm going to call it whether Ben likes it or not. He's not going to do that to him, and that's refreshing.
Very refreshing. And most people, again, will just take anything they hear, take it out of context, make it be what they want to be. Even if Matt, even if he said this, I think that that's what a lot of people have done in the past with Pittsburgh when they've succeeded, is they've let Ben call plays that he's comfortable with. It's not that the coach isn't coaching. It's that the coach understands in this scenario, it is better and more, I don't want to say progressive, but more beneficial to the team to let Ben go, especially in those no huddles. Yeah. Let him go, make the play calls. Don't let the defense get a chance to rest and move on.
Yeah, like especially in a two-minute drill, when you've got to move it down the field, you don't have time to get in a huddle. You got to let Ben just go, man. You just got to let him call it, let him tell people where to go and move it down the field. He's very comfortable doing it. He's done it hundreds of times. So at this stage in his career, there are certain situations where you will take your hands off. But as an offensive coordinator, he knows that he has to stay involved enough that he doesn't let Ben completely call it. Otherwise, he'll go too far away from the running game and start becoming a little predictable like the offense got late last season.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking of those two-minute drills, Ben might want to practice them a little bit more. Considering in practice, James Pierre actually picked him off twice, and one of those times was on a two-minute drill.
And also we're hearing, now they're only allowed to say so much about what they see at camp, right? So the reporters that are there all are bound by the same restrictions. They can only report on what they see if they can get someone that they interview to talk about it. So someone has to admit that something happened. Then they can kind of elaborate a little bit. So one reporter did say that one of the interceptions was on a fake spike. So we know one was on a two-minute drill and one was on a fake spike. We're kind of guessing that it was probably the same interception and then the other one was not related to that.
More than likely.
Because that makes the most sense. But James Pierre did say that Ben Roethlisberger went up to him after the practice and told him, nice job. Joe Hayden was all over talking about how great of a job he did. Minka was congratulating him. And it's really looking like maybe, just maybe, there's another project going on here in the cornerback room. And boy, do we need it. Because after this year, Cam Sutton and Justin Lane are the only drafted corners on the team that will still be under contract.
Yeah.
And even at that, both of them, their contracts will be up after the 2022 season.
Yep.
So you need to figure out some answers
here. The depth is not there right now for a future cornerback position.
Yeah.
With that being said, it's also important to note that in the practice at minicamp, most of the nickel position was run by a safety.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like Antoine Brooks, the safety convert from Maryland, last year's sixth or seventh round pick.
I believe he was a seventh.
Yeah, it was one of the two. Anyway, he is actually running in the nickel a lot and getting rave reviews on his short area quickness and how he's able to keep up with people in the slot. So even though he was not necessarily a premier safety, it could be that his best capabilities are in the slot at the NFL level. And when you compare that to James Pierre being 6'2", 195, built a little bit more for the outside corner role, which is what he was more comfortable with in the college level. Antoine Brooks, a little shorter, but stout. You know, he came out as a 5'11", 220-pound safety. Now they're calling him closer to 210, which probably does explain a little bit of that short area quickness. When you lean up like that, that definitely helps.
Yeah.
I know if I dropped 10 pounds, I'd be a little quicker. A
little bit. Just a little quicker. And just to clarify, he was a sixth-round pick in 2020. But yeah, I mean, if you get someone like this, Antoine Brooks, who, again, we talked about this all the time, when we were talking about positional battle breakdowns and our 53-man roster predictions, you have someone like Antoine Brooks Jr., who's going to be able to play safety and nickel corner. his value just skyrocketed for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we assumed that if someone was going to win this nickel job that was a safety, it was going to be a free safety type, mm-hmm. like Trey Norwood or Lamont Wade or one of those guys, even Arthur Mollett, you know, with slot experience over with the New York Jets. So it's weird seeing someone that was a strong safety really leading the pack right now. But I like the idea because one of the things that Mike Hilton was so good at was adding pressure, whether it be against the run or as a pass blitzer. Now you're talking about a safety that's got, you know, a couple inches and 20, 25 pounds on him. He ought to be able to do well against running backs. And he ought to be able to do well rushing the passer as well.
Yep.
You give him one-on-one against a running back, I like his chances of getting by him or even running him over.
Yeah.
So you might be able to get some pressures on the quarterback similar to what you got with Mike Hilton.
With a little bit more power on the hit.
A lot more. Yeah, a lot more. He ain't going to be dragging anybody down. He'd be crushing them.
Yeah. Maybe some extra force fumbles, maybe some...
Take it?
Listen, maybe some... Even if you put him nickel on the side where TJ Watt's coming in at, and they're no longer able to do a double team on TJ Watt, one of those two probably going to get in there.
Yeah, Keith Butler said in an interview that they one of the things they liked most about Mike Hilton is they value the ability to bring the blitz from anywhere on the field. That's one of the things that people know about him with the 3-4 defense is that they're going to blitz linebackers. The question is where from. But when you're in the nickel, you lose one of those, you know, two of your linebackers kind of become defensive linemen. Now you have two off-ball linebackers. Your nickel corner, if he can get after the quarterback like Mike Hilton was able to do, it's almost like you still have another linebacker out there.
Yeah.
So it's very important in this defense that you can get some pressure and you can stop the run out of that nickel defender, and he ought to be able to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And with that being said, again, look for the interesting things. We want you guys to post or comment or tell us, even if it's in a direct message. We want to know your 53-man roster predictions. We want to know who you think is going to make the team that maybe we didn't think was going to make the team. Who you think might be a free agent we're going to sign. We'll get into that a little bit more later. Who do you think is like the guy that's going to be the breakout talent this year on defense or offense that we think might just be a backup? We want to know these kinds of things from you. Who's going to be the kick returner, punt returner? Is it going to stay Ray McLeod, or are we going to keep someone like Matthew Sexton, who's an undrafted free agent kind of guy, and give a guy like that a shot? What's going to happen? And then I'm super excited. I can't tell you how excited I am for preseason.
Oh, man, it's so
I'm
close.
I'm stoked.
At least we know dates on that. We don't know That's dates true. On the training
That's true.
Camp
we
yet,
do know dates on preseason.
But they did have some guidelines that were released for training camp. So for folks that are able to go to training camp, whether it ends up in La Trobe or somewhere else, it doesn't matter if you've had a vaccination shot or not. You're not allowed within 20 feet of any of the players, staff members, anything. So there will be no autographs this year in La Trobe. So if you're looking to go just to try to get an autograph, this is the wrong year to do it. Try again next year. They are the players are really good about doing autographs. Not all of them, and usually better earlier in the training camp than later. They get sick of it later as it goes on.
I'll tell you what, but that could mean less people at training camp.
I think it will, yeah.
And that could be really enjoyable.
And realistically, too, you're still going to have some people that are nervous about COVID, and I understand that. So that should have the numbers a little bit lesser than normal. They may even restrict how many people can go. You never know how many people they'll let in. But
that's true. We'll have to get there early. Yeah. Get a hotel the night before.
Like Alex Cazora early, like 2 hours before.
Yep. You just want to talk to Alex. Let's be real.
Again, that's the key.
Yeah. But yeah, so again, we're super excited to see what's going to happen with the roster breakdown, as well as just getting to see the players actually play and participate in things this year that we just didn't get a chance to see last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that we didn't get to see last year was really any training camp at all. Dwayne Haskins says his goal this year is to make everyone who took a chance on him in Pittsburgh look good. The kid seems to really be taking a very humble pie approach to this whole situation. You got to at least like where he is mentally, or where it seems he is mentally. Speaks a lot about character. to be able to look back at a situation and say, hey, you know, I know that maybe I didn't handle things as well as I could have. And getting a fresh start in Pittsburgh is a real blessing for him.
Yep. I'm just...
Cody, you got thoughts on this, man.
I do.
Did I just steal some of your talking?
No. Right, so here's the thing with this.
Let it fly, brother.
I did see somebody post about this. I the first time I saw the quote or the article or whatever was posted, it was in one of the Steelers fan pages or groups that I'm a part of on Facebook. And I saw people commenting and saying, doesn't fix who he is. You can't teach that, blah, blah, blah. And what specifically I was reading was how Mike Tomlin was more worried about who Dwayne Haskins is as a person compared to a football player. For anyone who says that that's the wrong approach, doesn't understand A, life, or B, football. You can change more about a player as a player by changing them who they are as a person. By changing who they are as a, and if you think that can't change, you clearly just haven't dealt with some of the things life has thrown at people. I don't know. I've seen so many people change from realizing they've made big mistakes, realizing that they've screwed up, realizing that, you know, Dwayne Haskins was out at a strip club or with a stripper or whatever it was during the middle of a pandemic. And I bet you Mike Tomlin is saying, hey, look, you made a dumb choice. You made a horrible mistake. Don't let what everyone else says about you because of one thing stop, like, control how you're going to act in every single other aspect of your life. And the fact that he's saying he wants to make people look good, that means that Mike Tomlin, especially in my opinion, is getting to Haskins and saying, hey, this guy actually cares about who I am as a person, not just what I can do for him as a player. And that's going to make him want to play for him better as a player, yeah. Period. And nothing else matters. And going on top of everything else, or like beyond that aspect, Ben's already complimented Dwayne Haskins.
Sure has.
Now,
multiple receivers have.
What more do you want other than seeing him actually play? He's proving that he's probably going to make a run for the third spot at least.
Yeah, you have to assume at this point in time that if they didn't like him that much, he'd already be gone. They would have kept the kid at the tryout quarterback, you know? They would have kept him on and said, forget it, and just cut him.
Yep.
So I agree with a lot of what you said there, especially the, you know, being concerned about the man off the field. Because a lot of times, even what can be making somebody struggle on the field can be something off the field. And if you can help him with his personal issues and help him through maybe some demons he might be struggling with or whatever it may be, just so that he's that much more focused when it comes game time because he's not worried about what's going on with baby mama drama or whatever at home. It is. You know, doesn't really matter what the drama is. If you can help a young man squash that off the field, helps keep his head clean when it comes time to be on the field, and that can only help their performance.
Yep. So all you Dwayne Haskins haters out there, James,
come on.
You called him a trash can before the show as a joke. Let's clarify.
Might be true.
I think Dwayne Haskins is going to improve himself enough as a person and that will come out on the field as a player. And I think at this point, I think he's making the 53. I know I already gave my prediction. I had him making the 53, but I think it's, if he can come out and even play up to par with Josh Dobbs, he's on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. As much as I like the higher end athleticism with Dobbs, I think that Haskins doesn't have to show a ton to beat him out. Because they've already had Dobbs around for 5-6 years at this point.
Yep.
And you don't expect Dobbs to develop into anything, as to where Haskins has only been in the NFL for 2 years. So there still is that unknown of, was it just a bad situation for him? Not a good coaching staff? Not enough weapons on the offense? Too many distractions off the field? There's lots of things that could have been negatively impacting that situation for him.
And when you think about distractions off the field, you automatically think of like people like, oh my gosh, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel was talented. You can't say he wasn't, but it didn't pan out in the NFL because of the distractions off the field.
And some of the problems being drug issues, for sure.
Yeah. Big time.
But yeah, that's an off-the-field distraction.
True, true.
Not doing lines of coke in the middle of the field, that's for sure. But yeah, so it'll be very interesting to see where this goes. A report today on a highly sought-after free agent that came into Pittsburgh for a visit today. Offensive guard Trey Turner, who is a five-time Pro Bowler, 29 years of age, is a free agent right now, and he was in Pittsburgh visiting today.
That is huge.
Especially since we believe that the interior offensive line depth is definitely a concern. The way we look at it, you've got your locks in Kevin Dotson, Kendrick Green, David DeCastro, and then probably BJ Finney as the top backup.
Yep.
If you were to bring in Trey Turner, he's number one right out of the gate, your best backup offensive interior lineman.
And I think offensively standpoint-wise, that interior line position is the weakest depth chart position.
Yeah.
Minus fullback, because we have one. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough because you got three positions and only one quality backup that you know of.
Yep.
And that guy that we're calling a quality backup just basically got booted off of two teams because they didn't like him.
Yeah.
So did his quality of play drop off enough? Is he going to rebound?
Or is he just want to come back to Pittsburgh?
that could be a thing. Or is he who Seattle thought he was and who Cincinnati thought he was?
Yeah.
If that's the case, you definitely need an upgrade inside. So for us, we don't look at this as if Pittsburgh signs Trey Turner, Kevin Dotson's going to get benched, or, you know, they're not going to start the rookie center or anything like that. We look at it as he would be the number one backup day one.
Possibly even a six offensive lineman in some cases.
Yeah, if you're willing to use a guard as that extra guy, that would work well. And you have to look at it, too, from a perspective of David DeCastro going to go into the last year of his deal.
Yeah.
If he decides to hang him up after this year, now you can just slide a five-time Pro Bowler in there. That's not a bad situation.
I'll take that over the other.
Yeah, which is
sign somebody in free agent Rashard Coward. Who somehow was running with the football in camp. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
that was weird. We don't know how that happened.
Yeah. Tip drill.
We have some speculations. Yeah. But that would absolutely be a day one improvement to offensive line depth interior-wise. On the defensive side of the ball when it comes to free agency, you heard us talk earlier this week about Malik Hooker being present in Pittsburgh. To say more on this, he has had injury problems with the Colts. He says right now he's about 90%.
Yeah, 90% recovered from his Achilles injury.
So, and he's interested in, I believe we said, three teams.
Yeah, three teams brought him in for interviews, Pittsburgh being one of those teams. And that's what he's kind of deciding between right now. Sounds like he wants to finish healing up and be 100% before he makes his decision. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of these team doctors kind of required it, honestly. There might be some things that they want to see him be able to do. He might not be able to, like, full out run 100% on a treadmill yet.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. He might not be able to cut on that leg 100% yet. So you would assume that they're going to want to evaluate him again in a month or whatever and see how that mobility looks. And if it looks good, bring him in.
100%.
Bring him in and let's bolster that safety depth.
Because then our depth, I think if you add those two guys as far as free agents, I'm a lot more confident about safety and offensive line depth immediately with those two guys.
Yeah, and again, to throw the realistic perspective in there, they can't give both these guys a bunch of money. That won't work. So these guys have to be willing to take veteran, not necessarily minimum deals, but they can't be a ton over veteran minimum.
Veteran low.
Yeah, like $1.5 million or $2 million. If it's more than that, it's pretty much out of their price range with what they've got under the cap right now.
Which, again, depending on the two other teams that are looking at this guy, maybe they'll view Pittsburgh as a better chance of winning a Super Bowl or making a playoff run, whatever. Each player is going to have their own reasons as to why they might favor another team. Like, for example, if either of them, I don't know where they grew up or anything, but if they grew up in Pennsylvania or
Malik Hooker's from Newcastle.
There you go. That's like that can enough. That enough in and of itself can be worth $250,000-$500,000 to some of these guys because they're closer to home.
Yeah,
and they're making big bucks anyways. So I think it'll be very interesting to see who they decide to go with and like the contract. If anything leaks where we find out how much we were willing to offer these guys compared to how much they got, or how much someone else was willing to offer them compared to how much we pay them, it's very interesting to see how this all plays out because these are people. I think some people forget that. Like, these are real people. They have families. They have feelings. They have desires. And maybe they don't want to go to Las Vegas. I don't know.
And it's all about opportunity, too, right? Because both of these guys, you're looking at positions where the starter is not under contract next year.
Nope.
Terrell Edmonds did not get that fifth-year option. So if he doesn't get an extension, we need a new starting safety next to Minkah.
Yep. Which Mike Tomlin did too also say about Terrell Edmonds that his future might not be over. But beside the point.
Yeah, and then the same with David DeCastro, like we just talked about a little bit ago. Coming up on the last year of his deal this season, if he decides he doesn't want to play anymore or they don't extend him, well, there you go. There's the opportunity for Trey Turner. So... could be a very smart move by these guys to come here because they could end up starting in 2022 pretty easily. Or honestly, this year, if an injury were to happen.
Yeah. Or if Terrell Edmonds doesn't catch a ball. Sorry. Shots fired.
He's vastly improved from previous years.
I know he has.
Listen, he improved more in 3 years than Bud Dupree did in four.
That's fair.
Don't hate him so much.
That's fair.
Yeah, he never had more than like 5 sacks in a season his first 4 years. I think he hit like 6 1 year.
I know. I give
some guys just take a little more time, man. They gotta get a little bit more playing time. It starts to just click and make more sense to me.
I think I just give Edmonds a hard time because I look at the safeties that I got to watch us growing up I was spoiled. Like Ryan Clark, Troy Polamalu. Even Minkah now. Minkah's just an animal in and of himself, and I don't think we've seen the best of Minkah so far. I really don't.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just spoiled in that sense. And safety's one of my safety's the position I played in high school, and it's the one of the positions that I'm enjoy. And I just felt like there were times where I'm like, dude, you could have just laid someone out and you watched them run past you. I just get mad at him.
Yeah.
So maybe it's more of a personal thing.
Yeah. And that's tough now too, though, because you make that hit and it's probably 15 yards and you might be getting fined and suspended.
I guess that's fair.
The safeties are in a tough spot now, man. Real tough.
Fair enough.
The NFL has made the game very difficult for safeties. Ryan Clark wouldn't make it in today's NFL.
No, he'd be kicked out of the league by now.
Yeah, easily.
He should be kicked out. Sometimes the stuff that he says. Anyways, going back to Steelers stuff, James and I got the opportunity to scroll through, if you haven't yet, Pittsburgh's Twitter page, the Pittsburgh Steelers Twitter, @Steelers. They posted the minicamp, finalized the best pictures from minicamp, and we got to look through 122 photos. Just really interesting to see things because you can kind of get a feeling for who's starting in what position or who's playing with what backups and all this other stuff. And we saw some fun pictures.
Absolutely. What the heck's Rashard Coward doing with the ball in his hands,
man? I don't know, but he's running and he's getting chased.
Funny to see. And it's right after a picture where it looks like there's a tip ball. So it could be he just came up with it and then took off. Could be he's practicing as tackle eligible. You never know. But still very, very entertaining to see a big old offensive lineman like that with the ball in his hand and looking to secure it and run for some yards.
Abso-frickin-lutely. That's the kind of energy we need out of our offensive line, man. This year. That is it to the T. You see the ball, you get the ball, you run. Or you don't have the ball, you still run, you hit people. I saw a video actually before we go too far into the photos. I saw a video recently that I'm like, we need this on our offensive line. It was of Travis Kelce's brother, offensive center for the Eagles.
Is it Jason Kelce?
Jason Kelce. Yeah. I think that's it. 90% sure. If it's not, I apologize. But there was a video of him blocking for Darren Sproles.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, man.
And he just took out...
took out, like, three guys.
Yeah, and I'm that's the kind of energy we need.
Yeah.
So I'm watching for... Listen, Rashad, if you get on the field and you don't have the ball, That's the kind of energy I want to see, my guy.
That's the nasty
we're That's the nasty for. We're talking about.
Oh, we called man. For it on Monday. We want to see the nasty in these offensive linemen this year.
100%. Another cool picture we got to see. Your boy, Henry Mondeau, hitting some of the sleds.
Yeah, man. Hitting the sleds, looking nice and lean. His Those tries calves. Are popping.
Calves and tries both were like, poof, there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had to replace the blocking sled after that drill because he broke it.
He just ripped it off.
It's yeah, it's done.
Done.
Need a new one.
Sorry, Pittsburgh.
Take it out of his check.
Nah, I think you take... What happens?
You just get a new one, man. You're the Steelers.
That's. I mean, it's true. It's just... There's so many... Okay, I don't want to go too
that's,
far.
That's the Rooney there's Day just, fund.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
Not the rainy day. The Rooney Day. You yep, get it?
I got it. It was good. Rooney. Art. Rooney family. James has jokes, y'all. James is in pristine condition right now on a Friday night.
That's it, man. I got dad jokes for days.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of other pictures we saw. We saw a beautiful catch... that apparently people memed that I didn't see this yet, but Mr. Najee Harris pulling an OBJ to some degree.
Yeah, one-handed in the corner of the end zone. And I'm looking forward to this, man, because last year when Pittsburgh drafted Chase Claypool, I really wanted to see them throw the fade to him in the corner. Mm-hmm. They really didn't do it all year. No. I don't remember it once, honestly. Najee's another guy. Throw the fade to him in the corner, man. If a linebacker's trailing him and you throw that to the corner, either he's catching it or it's incomplete.
Yeah, there's not many other options.
Yeah, there isn't, unless you underthrow it real bad. But it looked like Ben had perfect placement on the ball, and Najee just went up with one hand because that's what he does.
It's who he is as a person. It's just his style.
Yeah. Don't use two hands. You don't need to.
No, not at all. But the pictures were fun to see. You got to see a lot of Cam Hayward joking around because that's mm-hmm. just who Cam –
Yeah, he's always smiling.
Isaiah Loudermilk looking pretty beefy.
Yep.
He's TJ Watt.
Jacked.
Jacked, man. There's one picture where they're all tight ends are on the stairs walking down to the locker room and TJ's just behind him flexing on him. I think he's just looking down his arm like, yeah, yeah. This is going to be in the picture.
Cam standing next to him laughing again.
It's just a great time. If you guys haven't seen this again, make sure you go to the Steelers Twitter page. Maybe even we'll just retweet it here when we're done recording the podcast, but great and really fun to see the pictures. You see a lot of the rookies. Obviously we talked about Najee. You see Pat Freiermuth with the tight end yeah. guys. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's having a good time. He's a big boy.
He is.
He's massive. He's bigger than Eric Ebron. I knew he was bigger, yeah. but I didn't realize like he's bigger.
Yeah.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see those two be starting tight ends side by side. And the flexibility that our offense can have with that. So if you guys haven't seen those, go comment them or go look at them, excuse me, and then tell us your favorite picture. Tell us which one you like the most. Maybe make a meme out of it. Send it to us. We want to know. We want to see some funny stuff from you guys.
Yeah, man.
It'd be fun. We'll James and I will each make one and post them.
Sure.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we will. Come on. It's Friday night.
It's Friday night. We're going to have some fun. So we can't thank you guys enough for listening, supporting. Make sure, again, to listen to the next episode. We will be posting the next one more than likely, not this upcoming Monday, but the following Monday. I don't know the exact date on that.
Say it's the 28th, I believe.
So a little bit of a hiatus right now as I go into a work week where I'll be mostly out of town and then coming home back and forth a lot. We are excited for what is coming. And again, 86 days until the season starts.
That's the regular season,
That's less too. Than 3 months.
It's even sooner till the first preseason game.
Oh, I cannot wait. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your hosts, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.